In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome everybody. I'm excited to be here. You know, it's funny. I say that every show and I hear show hosts say that all the time. And I think, you know, they say, there's an exciting show for you today, or we have an exciting show for you today. And I think they just say that. But, you know, they got to believe that it is. I believe that I do believe. First of all, it's because for me today, we have my sister-in-law here, who is a dear friend as well and is an amazing person, Macy Voltaggio. She is so many things, actually. I won't even go into it. From businesswoman to mommypreneur to life coach and swim coach. So we'll get into all that in a moment. For those of you who have been following us along, first of all, thank you. But if you hear my voice a little different, well, I don't believe in accidents, so I'm going to say I had an incident this week, actually just after the show, it actually left my voice where I didn't have any. So in a week, the fact that I can sound this way, I am so grateful. I won't get into the incident. Because we'll be talking about Macy's incidents today and how she came through some amazing things and to be better on the other side. And frankly, I'm not ready to talk about it. But there is something that I am ready to talk about, which is really interesting because those of you who live in certain areas of the country, some of you have been complaining about these big houses that are popping up in neighborhoods where houses are normally small, or people come in and buy two or three houses and then tear them all down and build these big monstrosities. Well, it's interesting. You wouldn't think that people would complain of all places in Beverly Hills that's known for its big houses. But even there, some of the houses have been created so much bigger than the houses that already exist. And so many people have been complaining. And I've seen some articles on it. I've seen some video footage on it. And just recently, Mark Lejeure, one of our producers, sent me an article called Death of the McMansion, Era of Huge Homes is Over. And so many people seem to be excited about the fact that people are moving away from big houses to smaller houses. Well, you know, if it's because of the economy, I'm sorry for the people that can't afford to live in the big houses if that's where they want to live. And but if it's because there's a consciousness that's changing, then I think that's kind of exciting because we're starting to see, as a matter of fact, the article talks about several articles, actually. I could quote this one, but there are so many articles that I read after reading this one. On this, they're calling it the McMansion backlash, and you know, and saying that the McMansion era is over. And so, several articles were saying that people are turning to smaller homes, more manageable, but also more green, more environmental. So it is partly conscious, and maybe because of the economy that some people are having to need to think that way. So necessity has bred that. But nonetheless, it's the movement that's happening. So it's interesting to see all the comments that were made on the various blogs about this and the various video tubes that I watched. But, you know, the thing that I got most excited about is not just the fact that maybe people won't be tearing down some beautiful little characteristic houses in certain parts of the world to build bland, maybe monstrosities, just to show that they can. I got excited about the fact that they called them McMansions. I thought, this is kind of cool that they're saying that the McMansion era is over. And so if the McMansion era is over, I wonder if the era of another Mick something is over too. And that they're using the Mick to as a derogatory term, as a derogatory term about these mansions. So I wonder if they're saying a Mick like a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box or something like that. I don't per se have anything against them. You know, when the owners of the company, as a matter of fact, when the owner of McDonald's started, I think the original McDonald's, he bought a franchise, which I think was one or two stores, and I think it was Farmer's Brothers. And I actually ate a hamburger when I was eating meat at one of the original Farmer's Brothers. I think that's what it was called. And the hamburger was really good in comparison to a hamburger at McDonald's, which I haven't had in years because I don't eat meat anymore. But I had long stopped eating hamburgers at McDonald's. And I don't know if when he started, who was that, Carl Koch or is that Wendy's? I'm getting them all mixed up now.
Dave is Wendy's.
So maybe it's Carl Koch. When he started McDonald's, if he said, I want to make a hamburger that's tasteless, that actually possibly hurts people and is hurting the planet. I don't know that that's how he started his whole industry. I think it just grew out of hand and people didn't know what to do with it. And now there's billions and billions and billions served all the time. And it's just gotten way out of hand. I don't even know if he thought that someday I'll get Europeans to eat this stuff too. But that happened. God only knows. But it happened. And therein lies an era that maybe is ending as well. So the McMansion thing, I'd love to hear what you all have to say about that. Again, for the people that are losing their homes, that doesn't feel right no matter what status you are or how much money you have. If this is how you want to live, if you're utilizing and if you're not hurting somebody, but if you're tearing down precious land and if you're tearing down cute little homes or something or setting up in a neighborhood where you're not wanted, that's a whole different thing. And if you can build a home that's a little bit more conscious, a little bit more green, or hopefully a lot more conscious, a lot more green, I think that is the new way of doing things. And so the same with the other mix, the McDonald's and the Jack in the Box. And there's another way of doing things. And that was a way. I'm not going to say that, you know, stop, cease and desist. I'm saying let's find another way. And maybe McDonald's and Jack in the Box, maybe they'll go the way of the McMansions. And maybe it'll be graceful. Maybe they will do it themselves. Wouldn't that be nice? I think so. I'm an optimist, I guess. So I am an optimist because this week I wasn't even sure if I was ever going to be able to do a radio show again. And I'm doing one and I'm excited to be doing this and so much more. I have a desire to live and a desire to do wonderful things. And that in so many ways is what our show is about. Macy tells a really great story around that. Before I bring Macy on, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo. And of course, I am Filippo Voltaggio. Happy to be here, of course. Happy to be the host tonight with this very special guest. You're listening to us live on the BBS Radio Network, where you can hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m. To learn more about us, go to www.lifechanges.ws. So with that, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you a woman who I've known for many, many years, and every day I learn something new about her. I used to do this. I used to do that, she says. I do this now. And I venture to say that she's probably learning about herself as well, that she's an amazing being, and she's allowing her brilliance to shine in more ways than she maybe even knew how. She is the COO and the co-founder of the Lumi Company, an international management and employee training and development company. She is the co-creator and co-author of the Business Vitalizer, a management and business productivity tool, software, and system. Now, Again, the list goes on. She is now a highly skilled life coach, transforming the lives of women across the globe as far as Turkey, Greece, and Japan. She has also this year been named one of the top 10 mompreneurs of the year, and she received an award for that. As a matter of fact, she was just written up in a magazine that we'll talk to her in a moment. She's in the movie The Vow, Voices of Women, which encourages each one of us, women especially, but all of us, to look at who we are, appreciate our individual character, and educate everyone on how each person can create their own personal wealth through trust, happiness, empowerment, voice, and opportunity. Well, without going on and on, I'm just going to say a couple more things. She was the coach for the U.S. swim team that was an Olympic affiliate. She has also taught tennis. I am so amazed by her, and I'm so glad that she's on the show with us. Oh, Macy, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Filippo. I'm honored, truly, truly honored. I know it's so most emotional to get to finally be on the show. Ooh. And I will say, as a sister-in-law, I am truly grateful that Filippo is with us and that we are able to do the show. So it was not the easiest of weeks, but there are no coincidences in life. So.
And here we are.
And here we are.
We were supposed to be.
That's right.
You know, here's one thing I didn't know about you. Magna cum laude. You graduated from Ohio State University in magna cum laude.
I did. I was like a half of a percentage point away from summa cum laude, which was the top rank. So I was kind of like, I'll accept magna.
For those of us who don't know, summa cum laude and magna cum laude are pretty high up there. That's basically the number one or number two in your whole class. And the thing that I was thinking about that when I saw this on your resume, I was thinking, okay, yes, I knew and know that you're a very smart person. But this requires more than smarts, because not only were you doing the studying to accomplish this, but you were also doing like 8 hours of swimming, waking up at 4 o'clock and all
right.
of that. So.
Right.
What's up with you?
I'm an overachiever. No, actually.
No, but you're not, because you're well-rounded and balanced
you.
And
thank
cool.
You. Thank you. Actually, you know, I think, thank you very much, Filippo. It's actually an interesting segue into something, because I think part of the reason why I had a lot of success is because I had challenges. So I had a terrible skiing accident when I was 17 years old, which almost took away all of my swimming ability. At the time, for 2 years it did, but I really wanted to get back into swimming and eventually did have the opportunity to. Because of that, because of the brain injury I suffered, I actually think I became smarter because I had to retrain my brain on how to think, read, walk, even eat, speak properly. I had to almost kind of start over from scratch. So that was a big part of it. And then also the gratitude I had just getting up in the morning. So when I got up in the morning, I was so excited to be there. In fact, the other girls on the team would go, oh my gosh, here she comes again, because she has a big smile on her face. And it is 4 a.m. How can you be happy? Like, I feel great. I'm out of bed. Okay, let's go.
That's exciting.
So there's a big part of that, you know, having when something is completely taken away from you and you do start to get it back, it makes you really, really grateful for something, just being able to get out of bed.
Well, see, now you get a little bit of insight of how Macy is. You know, she doesn't sugarcoat. I mean, she jumps right in. There was no lead in. It's like, I had an accident. It's right there. Well, but I just want to make sure that the audience knows who doesn't know you. This is no small thing. I mean, of course, the accident was big, but that kind of an accident happening to anybody is an awful thing. But happening to a person that was an Olympic hopeful and a contender,
right.
and you were on the swim team for many, many years up
right.
until then,
right.
and, you know, the whole team also was relying on you. So,
right.
and then it wasn't just that one thing. You had three things happen. So.
Right, that same year. So I had this horrible skiing accident, and you know, up until that point, I only saw myself as a swimmer, and I only saw myself as a straight-A student. I myself didn't have an identity. So, you know, I had this terrible accident that took it all away. I mean, I couldn't even go to school. I was bedridden. And I had
For months, yes.
And it took me 2 years to get better. But so I had to have a tutor come in and help me. Thank goodness it was my senior year, and I had taken so many advanced placement classes, college prep classes, that I could have just graduated then. So I had enough credits already. So had I not been you know, that far ahead academically, it would have really, really jeopardized my ability to even graduate from high school. But I started to get a little bit better because I'm a fighter. I'm tough. I mean, I'm very tough. When you train 5 hours a day, when you see like the Michael Phelpses out there and some of these other superstar swimmers, that is what you do. I mean, you're a machine. But 3 months after I'd had my skin accident, I kind of started to feel a little better. I got out of bed more than I thought I was going to. And then I was in a car accident that flipped. So, and it took away all of my progress up to that point. And then several months after that, I was hit while I was on a bicycle. So, you know, I started to get better.
By a car?
Yes, by a car. So,
wow.
So, yeah, it was not good. I ended up back in the hospital. I'd stopped breathing. It was not a good situation. Right. Yeah, I know. He was looking at me like, what?
What were you thinking?
What was I thinking? Well, why I was even on a bicycle was just dumb, because I really shouldn't have even been on a bicycle. But, you know, I felt better, so here I'm out and about. But I now, looking back, I realized that I wasn't learning the lessons I needed to learn. So I was so quick to going back into identifying myself as a swimmer and identifying myself as an athlete and an academic success, not in being Macy. I hadn't learned that my identity just could be me, that I kept going back to what I knew. And that was, I feel, the universe coming into play, going, I have to knock you all the way down. I mean, literally, I have to knock you on your tush so you are lying on your back so that you get into a meditative state so that you start connecting with yourself.
Wow.
So I now, looking back, really see why it happened. But at the time, you kind of go, oh, no, I'm back here again, you know, because the therapy I had to go through was really painful. It was very painful. I'd have big needles stuck, you know, through my jaw, into my inner ear to try and release some of the pressure because I had a dislocated jaw. I, you know, cracked all these teeth. I had a horrible, horrible concussion, whiplash. You know, I was seeing double. I had memory loss. I mean, this was no small feat.
It's horrible just to listen to.
Yeah, I was lucky I survived. I mean, really, I was lucky I survived. But then I had this other accident, and then I had another accident, and it was like, okay, there's something I'm missing. When it happens three times, you start looking at it differently, realizing, okay, I can't go back to the way things were. I'm going to have to start looking forward.
But you're here to say that it doesn't have to happen three times.
What I'm saying. Please, all of you out there, if you're facing a challenge, start realizing from the first accident that hopefully you won't even have to have an accident.
Yeah, or accidents or illnesses.
Yes.
Or
just challenges in life. See, now I approach life as a challenge is an opportunity. It's really a gift. So when you're approaching it that way too, it helps you work through it a lot quicker because you start to see, what is it that I am missing? Because if there are these things that are continuously happening around me, maybe it's me. It's not them.
Mm.
So if there's, you know, people in your life who keep coming in that are irritating you and everybody's irritating you, you're like, well, maybe it's not them. Or, you know, if you're suffering from an illness or you're suffering from an addiction, that there's probably a piece of you that you need to discover. And so you don't need to take it down the self-destructive path. That, you know, if you take a moment to really do some soul searching and self-identificating for yourself, that you won't have to keep doing it.
So I like the story about you coming back into the water with a cast.
Oh, yeah.
And plastic all the way up. So you're in this body bag, so to speak, swimming. Your time, your normal time.
Yeah. Well, this is okay. So I had to recuperate for 2 years. And up until that time, I had pretty much any college I wanted to go to for swimming. I had all these scholarship offers on the table. And then when I had my accident, all of them pulled the offers back. So except for one college, which was the Ohio State University. So they said, no, we want you just based off of your character to come and be a part of our team. I know. It was like, I cannot believe my luck. But my sister went to school there. She was swimming for the team. So she was vouching for my character to the coach. She's an amazing person. She is a really good athlete if we can get her back in the water, but she's also good academically. But just her spirit is very kind of, I guess, inspiring to be around. So the coach took a chance on me. I couldn't even get in the water that whole first year. I would just sit on the pool deck and try and do my homework, but I was in therapy every single day to just try and get my body up right. I had to have therapy. So, you know, physical therapy. So it was not an easy year. Imagine being, you know, now 3,000 miles away from home, living in a dorm in a totally unfamiliar place. And the only reason they released me to go to school was because my sister went there. So I now had my freshman year. I didn't feel good my freshman year, but my sophomore year, I started to feel a little bit better, although I was in the hospital a couple of times my sophomore year, and just from complications because I had so much medication in my body. You know, I had kidney issues. My body would shut down. I'd get cysts that would burst, and that feels worse than child labor. So, you know, it was
And you know both.
I do know both. I birthed both my babies at home in my bathtub. So I can vouch. I had a, you know, a non-medicated birth. But but by the middle of my sophomore year, I started feeling better, and I started to really already start to look at who I was. I started to get a better sense of myself, but I did miss swimming. You know, that was a huge part of me, so I wanted to go back. So I asked the coach if he'd let me come back on the team, and he was very hesitant. I mean, he saw my x-rays. He saw the test results, and he's like, why in the world would you come and put your body back through that? I mean, I don't understand. But he said, if you can do this by the end of summer, meaning from the beginning of my junior year, come back and you can do this. He's like, I'll let you back on the team. So I was able to do all that, but it was so painful. I mean, I almost passed out every time I get out of the water because my vestibular system was crushed by my jaw when it slammed back into my head from my original accident. So anybody who suffers from vertigo, I had vertigo for 2 years, which is a horrible condition where you lose your balance. You're very disoriented. I had no depth perception. So I'd knock things over because I couldn't tell where they were in relation to me. And that's why I had to learn how to walk again. My legs worked fine. So I didn't know if I put my foot down where the ground was going to be. So, again, that was retraining my brain. So by the time I went back into my junior year, I was able to get back in the pool. He wanted me back on the team again because I was so excited to be there. So he called me the team cheerleader. He's like, you know, just having you around, there's an energy that you're exuding. I want you on the team. Well, 2 months into training, I fell and broke my arm. And I didn't just break my arm. I tore all the ligaments, so it was this massive, like, just mess in my wrist. And so they just wrapped it all up in this waterproof cast, and I'd lay it on a kickboard, and I'd come into training every morning.
Wow.
So, you know, and nobody really knew because, of course, I didn't just break my arm. I had all these other complications that they hadn't discovered till later on, that they didn't quite know how to fix it. They were looking at all these surgeries and putting pins in and how do we fix it. So, but in the meantime, I'm just happy to be in the water again because the rest of my body felt better. So it was good.
And you're studying enough to obviously get top grade.
So this is what was interesting is because I broke my left arm, which I am left-handed, I had to learn how to write right-handed.
Oh, jeez.
Well, but I'm so grateful for that because, again, I think it made me smarter because I was what they call a right brain lead, meaning that because if you're left-handed, it always crosses in your brain. I now was forced to write with my right hand. So now I have woken up both sides of my brain.
Wow.
So I'm rewiring both of my brain in an academic, both hemispheres of my brain in an academic sense, not just in a physical sense like I did with swimming. Although I do think swimming makes you smarter too because you do a lot of cross-lateralization work. But
that's a plug for swimmers.
Yeah, I know. Anybody who's a swimmer out there, keep it up. So I had to learn how to write right-handed, and I honestly think it made me smarter. So I do think that that had something to do with me getting good grades. So people, if you want to get smarter, write with your other hand.
you're giving the credit here to the fact that you had to learn to write with the other hand, and that's all wonderful. But it's you.
Thank you.
I think it's my attitude.
Thank you. I am a different person because I was very happy before all of my accidents and challenges. But I've always been a very happy person. So that didn't really go away. Even when they kept checking me for depression, because when you have such serious condition going on in your body, they're very concerned about the pain leading to depression. And they get, are you sure you're not depressed? I'm like, no, really. If I can get out of bed today, it's a good day. And so, you know, you just start to look at life very differently.
So it was one good day after another until today, and then there's tomorrow. And and for those, I actually forgot to mention, but for those who are interested in this story and a little bit more, unfortunately, it doesn't give the whole breadth yet of what Macy I know will be writing someday soon. But she already is an author and an Amazon best-selling contributing author, for that matter. And the book is called?
It's Thank God I. It's Stories of Inspiration for Every Situation, and I'm in volume 2.
So Macy Vultaggio is in volume 2 of Thank God I, ... which basically is saying that thank God for things that happen because it's not always what we think.
Exactly, exactly. As I say, challenges often present a gift. And even in situations as serious as cancer, you know, even if you've dealt with a death in your family, there's usually a gift in it. You just have to look deeper. And it's not to say that you aren't going to go through a grieving process. It's not to negate the feelings that you're having. I would never tell anybody to, just go right into gratitude. It can't be that way. Mm. But just know that people will come into your life because of what you're going through, and you will discover a side of yourself that you may never have discovered had you not gone through that situation. Mm. So when you're able to look at it a little differently, it takes a little bit of the intensity out of it.
There you are, coaching. And I like that. Well, because in actuality, what you did with all of that information that you gathered from learning how to push through the struggle and staying positive and all of that, and what you had to learn, not just the normal strokes, but you had to learn how to do it handicapped, so to speak. So now you're teaching people who are you, then you started teaching people on the team, and then other
right.
people wanted to be taught by you.
Right.
Which I'm sure made everybody else crazy. He's like, why her? So what was that like? What were you giving to these kids, students?
Well, it was interesting because when I was still in college, I would coach for underprivileged children.
Mm.
And so I had coached before that, but that really opened up a whole other side of realizing that I had gifts, even though I couldn't swim anymore. Because at that point I'd had up 2 reconstructive surgeries on my arm, and so I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. I'm not a swimmer anymore, but maybe there's something else I can give.
Mm.
And by the way, before I decided to quit swimming, I did swim as fast as I did 3 years prior, even with my arm in a cast.
Wow.
And all this. So what's hard is when you see yourself being able to come back after such a serious series of accidents to being as fast as you were before,
mm-hmm.
and then realizing that you probably have to hang up your suit. It's like, oh. What could I have been? Mm. But you understand that that wasn't what it was about.
Mm.
It wasn't about me being the best swimmer, number one. It was more about me living an inspirational life.
Mm.
So when I then had the opportunity to coach underprivileged children and them learning from someone who was an Olympic hopeful and me being able to teach them in a way that they would have probably never been able to afford to be taught, to see on their faces going from clinging onto the wall to making all the way across the pool, you know, you start realizing, okay, that there's gifts in this, there's gifts in this. So I started coaching when I was still in college, and then I went back and started coaching on the team where I was training for United States Swimming. So, you know, it was awesome to be back on the pool deck and share the pool deck with my coach and coach, you know, some of these other up-and-coming hopefuls, and 4 or 5 of them made it onto Olympic trials themselves. So it's kind of, you know, an honor to get to do that.
Mm.
But, you know, when you start to see things come full circle, because now my own daughter swim, which is like, oh, I can't believe I'm that old, but I'm not that old.
You're not that old.
No, I know I'm not, but to have children that are actually swimming now too, to be able to give back, it just changes everything. It changes your outlook on it.
Well, they're not exactly swimming in college. They're still
little.
I know,
they're just 6 and 8. They're little ones. I know. You're right.
Although, that won't be long, I'm sure.
I know.
Don't blink.
Yeah.
If you hear an excited voice other than mine, normally I'm very excitable. I'm excited now. My voice is just not all there yet. It's the voice of Macy Vultaggio, who is an inspirational speaker, as you now know for sure. But she is the COO and co-founder of the Lumi Company, the co-creator and co-author of the Business Vitalizer, which we haven't even gotten to talk about yet. But she's a life coach and a swim coach. And when we come back, we're going to actually ask her about this really fun thing. She's been awarded the Top 10 Mompreneur of the Year Award, and she's been in a magazine. But I want to remind everybody that if you want to learn more about Macy, you can go to our website at lifechanges.ws, or you can also go to...
Oh, a couple different websites.
Yeah, several. Give them all.
Well, the Lumi Company, so www.thelumi, L-U-M as in Mary, I, and then company all spelled out. That's our corporate website. And then our new site
.com.
Thank you. And then the businessvitalizer.com. is where our new products are going
to
be
launched. Yeah, we haven't gotten to talk about that yet. But so you can hear us here at Life Changes with Filippo every Monday night, BBS Radio Network at 7 p.m. Of course, you can also hear the archive shows right now, currently listed for free on our website at www.lifechanges.ws. I want to remind everybody that we are working on a network. We are creating a huge network, which is very exciting. It's going to be the Facebook of spirituality, something like that. We've titled it, but we're not going to share it yet because it's going to be the name of the website, and we're going to invite everybody to go soon. But I did want everybody to know that it is coming, that many people have asked us, when is it coming? When is it coming? We haven't stopped working on it, and we're looking forward to releasing it hopefully very soon. For all of us, even for me, I'm very excited. So with that, we return back to the show here at Life Changes with Filippo. I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, and my guest tonight is Macy Voltaggio. Macy, mompreneur. I wish they would have called it mommypreneur. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
But then again, kids do grow up, and then you're a mom, not maybe a
true.
Mommy. So what does that mean exactly?
It means that you have learned how to balance having a family and a career, basically, is what. And I love how mom comes first because, for me, that is what comes first, is being a mom. And then having a successful career, running a business has obviously taken a lot of time and commitment. But my children, we homeschool both of our girls because my husband and I travel quite a bit for our business. So we now have added the, a huge commitment of homeschooling on top of it, but I wouldn't have it any other way because I can be more of who I am when I know that they're nearby. And so it just relaxes my mind. They don't have to be sitting right next to me always, but when I know that they're in good hands nearby, if I had to travel and, be hundreds of miles away from them, it would not, I wouldn't get to be me. But being a mom, that's the best accomplishment I have. I used to have a room full of trophies and, awards, and as Filippo had mentioned, I still win awards, which is really a huge honor. Oh my gosh, the mompreneur one was so exciting, but that can't compete at all to being a mom. Yeah, and a wife, of course, as Filippo would know because it's his brother. He's pretty special.
Well, it's wonderful to watch you and the two of you and the four of you and the business.
Yes.
That's why the excitement too about today, because you do balance this out so beautifully, and this is part of our changing lives. This is life changes, and this is part of the new paradigm. Your business is run so much like a family, and your family is so much run so much like a family.
And in some sense, a business.
Exactly.
It's kind of a little organization.
Exactly. Yeah. So. There's such a wonderful balance there. So this article, life is changing for you all, too. You have people coming over, taking pictures of you and putting you in magazines. And the kids are like, okay, that's my mom on the cover of that. Okay, so you were actually featured in a magazine recently.
Yes. What was Raising that? Arizona Kids, which is so exciting because it's a magazine I used to read all the time when my girls were little. Mm-hmm. So when they called me up to offer this, feature, I was like, oh my gosh, of course I'll do it. I'll do it in a heartbeat. That's just, it's a huge honor. It's very exciting because it is taught and it's the mompreneur section. So it is featuring other women who have learned how to do this balancing act, and it really is everything in your life working in harmony because nothing will ever be in complete balance. Sometimes your family is going to need you more than your business is going to need you. So you have to understand that scale is just going to do this, the up and down motion. But I'm okay with that. And there's times where the business does need me more. And I tell the girls, you're just going to have to hang tight this week because I know this is going to be a busy week. So we organize activities a little bit differently. Sometimes we get grandma and grandpa involved a little more in the daily life. And they're okay with that because what I really love is seeing the confidence in my girls that is instilled in them because they see their mom being successful. So, my oldest little girl, she's already got business ideas and she's already got prototypes and
That's great.
Yeah, she you know, the sky's the limit, because they don't feel like, oh, well, other people get to do that. No, you know, mom's doing it, dad's doing it, and I'm going to do it too.
Right.
So they don't at all put these blocks up thinking that, well, somebody else can have that type of success. It doesn't even faze them to go for something.
I have to tell on myself here for a second. I remember being over your house and one of the girls doing something, and I was shocked. It's like, wow, that's so cool that at that age you know how to do that. And I remember you and Peter both saying, don't act so surprised, because it'll make it look like they're doing something strange. But in reality, that is normal, or at least hopefully the new normal.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you, Philippa, for bringing that up, because it's true. We try not to make such a big deal. In fact, my littlest one, she couldn't even swim across the pool in the beginning of summer. And by the end of summer, she was the fastest six-year-old in our city. And so it's like, oh, awesome, you know, good job. But you don't want to tie too much into their accomplishments or to make such a big deal when they accomplish something, because you want them to feel like it's just the natural course of action, that it can be accomplished, but you don't tie so much to it, because I want them to get to be kids. Because when I was growing up, we'll get a little bit into life coaching here. When I was growing up,
now?
Is that okay?
You're a natural coach. You can't help yourself.
I can't. You're
right. That's the good news. Don't help yourself. Go for it, Macy.
Just do it. Go. We had alcoholism in our family, and my sister and I, it was my brother, and so it was very difficult to see him kind of letting his life fall apart around him and the struggles that he was putting my parents through. My sister and I had made a vow to each other. I was 11 years old at the time that we would never put my parents through that. So to lay that kind of pressure on yourself at 11 years old to try to constantly accomplish something so that your parents will be proud of you, it messes you up later. because by the time I was 16, I was clinically depressed. So because I had so much pressure laid upon myself going, if I'm not number one, my parents aren't going to love me, when my parents would be mortified if they thought that was how I felt. I mean,
and now we know the rest of the story, because that's what probably led to the three accidents.
Absolutely.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I had a nervous breakdown at 16 to the point where I was, you know, very sad. And my mom saw me just crumpled on the floor for 3 days, just an absolute mess. She's, honey, I think we probably should go get you some help. Like, yeah, probably is a good idea. Actually, I kicked and screamed my way into that therapist's office. And I felt for those 8 months I was fighting for my life, because I didn't want to live. And to see that for my parents, I know, was just devastating, because on the outside, I was, again, a number one swimmer, very awarded athlete and academically. I was very successful academically. And for those of you who don't see me, maybe you'll see me on the flyer, but you know, I was blonde.
She's
beautiful.
Oh, she's sweet. That's what you're getting at.
So on the I'm
not that you're getting
you.
At that.
No, but I mean, I was cheery, and on the outside, everybody thought I was so happy, and I was so accomplished. On the inside, I was falling apart. So I felt like I was fighting for my life for those 8 months, because I was so miserable inside. And then I finally started getting into my own power and realized, and I kept giving my power away to everyone else, and that it was about everybody else's happiness as opposed to my happiness. And it can't be that way. And so now as a mother, I want to make sure to the best I can, because I cannot protect my children from everything. And I understand that now too, because there's gifts in every challenge. So if they do get faced with a challenge, I can't keep them from their lesson. So, you know, I now have a little bit more tools that I'm helping to raise them with, understanding that they do have choices very early on in life, and that I will provide the best environment I can for them, but I won't be able to protect them from everything. And I understand that. So, but, you know, it was only 3 months after the fact that I didn't need therapy anymore. Like, I totally get this. Like, I kept giving my power away. I mean, I was in an abusive physical relationship with a boy, and, you know, it was just not a good situation. So, but when I finally took my power back, it was only 3 months later that I was in my skiing accident. So I felt like I was fighting for my life again, but in a different way. However, I think I would have suffered from depression horribly in my skiing accident had I not dealt with some of the psychological things that I needed to deal with. So I really feel like I kind of set it up really nice for myself. It was a lot of work, but you know, really, if I had had to deal with all of that, with physically not being able to get out of bed, that would have probably, you know,
done you in.
It would have.
You know, I'm hearing a couple themes here. I hear the theme of balance, I hear the theme of harmony. And then you just mentioned something that I know you speak about when you do inspirational speaking, especially to women organizations and that kind of thing, and that is being in your power.
Yes.
And you're very big on that also in through your life coaching, being in your power.
Right.
So you don't mean like, you know, standing firm where you...
No. What I mean is the power of choice and understanding that you have the power of choice. There's always a choice to make. So, you know, when I get out of bed that morning, if for me physically I was able to get out of bed, I chose to, instead of woe is me, I still feel like crap, I chose, okay, I'm out of bed, I'm going to make today a really good day. So there's always a choice. So, okay, you may be going through something really stinky in your life, but you always have the choice to realize that, okay, I'm going through this for a reason, so let me get out of it what I need to get out of it. Mm. Or if you're in an abusive situation, you may feel that there's not a choice, and in that moment there might not be a choice, but then you do have the choice to try and create a situation for yourself to get out. Mm. Or, you know, if you are dealing with cancer, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, it is a horrendous thing. I've had several people in my life affected by it. But there's a choice in how do you go about dealing with it. Do you see yourself as, you know, I am cancer, or I have cancer, or do you see yourself as I am so-and-so and I am dealing with? Mm. So it's just, you always have a choice in how to deal with something. Do you want to deal with it with a smile on your face, or do you want to deal with it in, you know, bringing everybody else down around you? Because if you do it by bringing everybody else down around you, those people aren't going to hang around for very long.
Mm. And it probably exacerbates what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, because you release endorphins. Peter and I, that's my husband, Peter and I do a lot of work in the brain. And, you know, there are certain things that happen when you're even in a communication with somebody. The two of you are going to get on the same brain wavelength. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can measure it now. There's a big study out by Princeton University.
Isn't that great?
It's so exciting. That is the collective consciousness that they're now able to measure. Mm. So you're able to get into each other's brain waves. It just is a physiological thing that they now can see. So if you're with somebody and you start bringing it down, what do you think is going to happen to the other person?
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, and so then they're going to walk out of there going, well, that wasn't very fun.
Right?
You know,
that was
or
a downer.
Yes.
And then you wonder why people don't want to
you
be around me.
You better believe it. Yeah. Because there's physiologically something that's happening.
Why things aren't happening for me these days.
That's
kind
right.
Of thing.
That's right. And you're going to then also probably look for other people's brainwaves who are down at your brainwaves, and
right.
You guys are going to stay there. You know, misery loves company. Well, how about buck it up a little bit? In fact, actually, when you look downwards, that's where the emotion centers are in your brain, and that's most people who are depressed, they start, their shoulders will hunch forward and they look down. Whereas if you just buck it up, bring your shoulders back, and start looking up to where either the auditory or the visual centers are in your brain, you automatically will start feeling better just by that.
Wow, what a trick.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it's great. I get to talk to MACA so often, and I get to get this kind of energy, and we share energy back and forth and enjoy that.
And it's wonderful.
And thank you. I'm glad. I agree. And so I wanted to make sure that the audience, it's like I want the audience, our friends, our fans, our family to hear what I get to hear, the kind of conversations that we have. But I do know that, you know, you didn't come on here to sell anything. You just came on here out of the goodness of your heart to share all this information, and I appreciate it. I know this is going to help a lot of people, but I do know that you're working on a big thing, which is the Business Vitalizer, which is interesting because it's about business, but yet there are aspects of it that you all talk about, the brain.
Yes.
And so these are a couple of the things that that come out in this kind of a system, a software tool that you're creating, right?
Right, right. It's all about rewiring your brain. So you want to develop what's called your business brain. And the only way to do that is to, if you're running a business, you need to have the strategy set for your business. You need to know how to make good decisions. You need to be able to delegate assignments. You need to have really great communication skills. But how do you do that? Well, we've designed a system that there's a 60-day program, but there's also a software system that literally rewires your brain because it takes you through how your brain likes to process information. And the only way that your brain processes information is by asking it questions. So when you ask the correct questions in an order that makes sense, and then you give it back the information that you just gave it in an organized fashion so that you take your own responses to come out with a result, then your brain's going, I get it. This works for me. It's somebody's not telling me what to do. I'm just getting assistance in how to do it, but I actually get a result. So we now have this all packaged in a software, so you don't even have to have Peter or I come in and coach you on it or sit in training sessions that are very expensive and take time away from your business. You now can do it from the comfort of your office just through the internet. So, but it is all written. The coding and the software has been very, very specifically designed in how to rewire your brain. So there's a lot of systems out there that, you know, they work sometimes, they don't work sometimes. So this will work every time. And not only will it work, but it rewires you to be better at what you do. And it's building your specific business brain. It puts you in the right places with inside your brain that you need to be in to be effective at what you do. So like, let's say you need to make a decision. When you're making the decision, it is asking you the questions that then put you in the reasoning section of your brain, which is the prefrontal cortex. And so you need to be in there in order to really make sense out of this information to make a good decision. Mm-hmm. And you will increase your confidence level in that decision when you are working at that part of your brain. Mm-hmm. So then the software actually computes everything for you, and it'll tell you if it's a good decision or not for you to move forward with. And
wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of neat that way. But so you get real results while also making your brain wired for success.
Wow.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Well, this show was wired for success from the very beginning. There was just no doubt about it. The Business Vitalizer, is that actually available yet?
You know what? It's like just a handful of weeks away from releasing. The software is all finished, and the products are now in the printer's hands. So, you know, there's a delay there. But everything is all done. This has actually been the software is not being used in corporations, but the written materials have been used in corporations all over the world.
Well, right, because Peter has been teaching this stuff for years and been a consultant, highly paid at that, to do that for the large corporations.
Exactly.
And so for those of you who remember, Peter Voltaggio was our guest, I don't know, maybe 6-9 months ago. So if you go to our archives and listen to the Peter Voltaggio show, actually, no, it was the Life Changes with Filippo show
with
Peter Voltaggio as our special guest. So now you, for those of you who already heard that and remember that and you saw how brilliant Peter was, now you couple that with the brilliance of Macy and how she's learned through her brain exercises and experiences, incidences, and you've got a blueprint for success here.
Thank you. And that is what it is. In fact, that's the very first section in our book is called Business Blueprint. So it is setting up the blueprint for success. It's setting the strategy for your business, because a lot of people don't even know, what's the purpose of my business? What am I doing here? And so it does your purpose work. It does your vision work for you. It does your principles work, your higher order values. A lot of people don't even know what that is. What do I value? And I can tell you right now what I value. But a lot of people, if you ask them, what are your top 10 values? They might know their first three, and then they're not quite sure. Mm. Well, when you don't know what your values are, it's very difficult to make decisions. So when you're very clear on knowing, okay, my family comes first more than anything else, if you're offered a position, you know, that's overseas and it's going to take your family, you away from your family,
right,
you're not going to do it. Or if you know that, you know, you over all else value adventure, you know, and you have a position that keeps you in the same thing every day, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, and people say, you know, I can't decide this or that.
Right.
Well, but if you knew your values.
If you know your values and the priority of your values, you know, that's another really crucial part. People may know, well, I value family, and of course I value making money, and I value, you know, spirituality, but what order? Because sometimes that's challenged, and you're going to have to make a decision based upon that, and you have to know what comes first. And when you know what comes first, it makes it very easy to make a decision.
Well, we all can tell, you know, and we are so glad that you shared what you know all of us.
Thank you.
I want to remind everybody that that software application, and it sounds like it's not just for business. It sounds like it's for life.
It is for life. And actually, there will be the Relationship Vitalizer coming out.
Uh-huh.
Because we've been asked by a very actually famous movie producer to do this for relationships, because he just sees Peter and I, how we interact together, and he's like, you have to do this for relationships. People need to know how to have a successful relationship. So there will be a version specific for relationships, but this, the Business Vitalizer, will absolutely get you there even before that comes out.
I think that famous movie producer is actually listening. So hello, famous movie producer.
Hello.
Actually, we've been talking about having him on the show, so one of these days, I'm sure he will be. So that's thebusinessvitalizer.com, right?
Yes, thebusinessvitalizer.com.
And, of course, more about Macy and her company with my brother Peter at thelumicompany.com, and that's the spelled out, T-H-E-L-U-M-I, company, all spelled out, .com.
That's right.
Macy.
Oh, Filippo, thank you. Truly an honor. It's been so much fun. I can't believe it's already over.
I know. It is just too short. I keep saying this show needs to be at least 10 hours.
Yes. And people would listen.
Well, actually, they're starting to string them back to back to back, and yeah. I've heard of people doing marathons at work, you know. So,
I love it.
But it is what it is, and we're happy that it's here, and it's I'm grateful, and I'm grateful to have had you as a guest tonight.
Thank you so much, Filippo. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you shared. I do want to say one other thing, that for people that are going to say, I know she didn't come on the show to sell anything, but I would love to talk to her. I would love to connect with her. Let me tell you all, first of all, she is so busy, in case you didn't know. But on the rare occasion that she does take a life student, it's going to be me. No. thankfully, I get her wisdom, but when I get to chat. But is there an email you can give out that people can, if they have a question or do want to connect with you?
Sure. You can reach me either at my Gmail account, which is Maisie, M-A-I-S-I-E dot Vultaggio, V-U-L-T-A-G-G-I-O at gmail.com, or my business, which is M, and then Vultaggio, all spelled out again, at thelumicompany.com.
Okay, and so if you missed that, again, in a couple of days, this will be on our archive, and you can hear it again and again, and you can also share this whole show with your friends and family and people that you feel are going through similar situations or are not yet going through situations, and you want to help them not have the situations, or you know what you need to do with it. So I wish you all the best with that, and Macy, I wish you all the best with everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And same to you. Your network. That's so exciting.
It all is. So with that, I'm excited to bring on Dorothy Lee Donahue with her segment that we are happily calling Change Yourself, Change the World.
Tonight, I'm sharing a heartwarming story with you about a man who has become the change he wants to see in the world. The story tells of how Bruno Serrato, owner of the swanky family-owned Italian restaurant, The White House, in Anaheim, California, heard a voice tell him, "You must share what you have with others." The voice didn't come from above, however. It came from his mother, Caterina Serrato. Bruno has had a very good life and says he's always been blessed with good fortune. He has enjoyed cooking for the rich and the very famous in his extremely successful restaurant. Madonna, President Jimmy Carter, Andre Bocelli, Sidney Poitier, Gwen Stefani, David Beckham, astronaut Alan Shepard are just a few of those who dined with Bruno, and the list goes on and on. And the White House has received top honors from the Southern California Restaurant Writers Association and has been voted the best Italian restaurant for 11 years in a row. However, Bruno says the greatest gift he's ever received is the one he has given. When Bruno's mom came to town a few years ago, Bruno thought his mom would like to see the local Boys and Girls Club since he served on its board. And they were taking a tour of the facilities. Bruno told his mom that many of these kids were homeless and that way too often these kids went to bed hungry. So as any good Italian mother would do, she basically ordered that her son feed these kids pasta that night. There were 70 to 80 children at the club when they were there that day, and Bruno's mom wouldn't leave the kitchen until they were all fed. That was on April 18, 2005, and Bruno has fed them every weeknight since then. Although not even his mama expected him to continue to do this day after day, Bruno says he'll do this until the day he dies. With the economy being the way it is, his restaurant is not doing well. However, Bruno is feeding twice as many children now as he was when he first began. He's refinanced his restaurant and his own home in order to keep the feeding the children, and he says they are his favorite customers. Bruno says he's never been happier, even as his business struggles to stay afloat. He's been giving away more food than he's been selling. However, since Katie Couric first told this story on August 6th and suggested that people could help by having dinner at the White House in Anaheim, Bruno has been flooded with interview requests, and he's received 20,000 in donations to help out, and more than 200 reservations have been made at his restaurant. Many of these kids are like children, like his own children, and he is so happy that they are happy. And we want to thank Katerina for nudging your son in becoming the man he is today. I've seen him on several interviews, and he says he's in heaven already. He calls his charity the Katerina Club, and he encourages other restaurant owners to do the same in their communities. And thank you, Bruno, for listening to your mother and for showing us the difference one man can make. 150 kids are getting gourmet meals 5 nights a week from this generous man who thought he didn't really want to do this when his mom first suggested it. And now he cannot imagine not doing it. He's happier than he ever thought any person could be. And he has made and is making a very positive difference in the lives of some very lucky children. So I trust that this true story will encourage each of our listeners to find a way that you can make a difference in someone's life, just as Bruno has done and is doing. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You're the guru you've been waiting and looking for, and you're the only one who can end your suffering. You can do this by beginning to have a love affair with you. So let us choose to become very conscious co-creators by making the most elegant choices possible. And let us never forget that you are powerful beyond measure, that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Well, I love that story. Thank you so much, Dorothy Donahue, with the Change Yourself, Change the World. That's a really fine example of changing yourself and changing the world. And all because of a mother's suggestion. Ah, the mother's love. You know what? I'd like to pay Mr. Bruno Cerato a visit from one Italian to another and have a chat with him. He sounds like he'd be a great candidate for our luminary at one of our live events someday.
Absolutely.
So, bravo. Bravo, Bruno. Bravo, Bruno. Well, with that, what can I say? We've come to the end of yet another Life Changes with Filippo episode, and I just hate to see these end. I get so much out of them, out of not only doing them, but listening to the guests as much as sharing with the guests and asking questions. I, like Bruno, feel like I could do this forever and go nonstop. Because in fact, I do. After this stops, Macy and I and Peter, we're going to sit and chat, and Dorothy, we're going to chat. And as it happens with all of our guests, we chat sometimes for hours afterwards and hours before, because these are the kinds of things that are important to us. And I'm so glad that they are important to you, because you are obviously showing us through your fan mail, your emails and Facebook entries and Twitter, it shows, and I trust it's making a difference, as you all say that it does. And some of your emails literally bring me to tears when I think of how you are giving us you're showing us gratitude for what we do, when in turn we are saying thank you for sharing your stories with us. So with that, we once again want to thank Macy Bultagio for being our guest on our show and invite you to learn more about her and our past and future guests by going to our website at lifechanges.ws. Remember, keep the conversation going on Facebook and on Twitter and YouTube and very soon our very own new network, which we are all excited about. You can also connect with us again by phone and I mean email. Really, really, we are here and we are doing our best to return as many emails and calls that we get. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles, Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about each of these, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been and is my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark M. Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, thank you for joining us tonight in being part of the show and part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.